This episode of Profiles in Risk is sponsored by InsurTech Insights New York City, the largest InsurTech conference of the spring season. Join us on June 5th and 6th in New York City at the beautiful Javits Center as we dive into the future of insurance technology. Use discount code INERDS25 to save 25% on your ticket. See you in New York! Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Canyas, and today I'm recording with Valkyrie Holmes, CEO at Fora. Valkyrie, first of all, thank you for joining me today. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm in New York, just recovering from the eclipse. I made a funny post about how everyone's eyes are kind of like, why are my eyes hurting after the eclipse? So
send it on Google,
just a funny thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Google. I came, so great. I think I've officially become an eclipse hunter. So we're travelers as it is. Like me and my girlfriend, we travel a lot it is. And I saw my first solar eclipse in Costa Rica, where I grew up, in 91. And I was like 9 years old, and it was an amazing experience. Then in 2017, when the eclipse was going through the southern U.S., we were living in Atlanta. We still do. And I invited her, Renee's family, to come watch the eclipse. And they're like, yeah, we can watch it from Atlanta. But Atlanta wasn't in the path of totality. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like the difference between being in totality and not being in totality is incredible. So we drove to Tennessee, and we watched it there.
Yeah.
So it was my first one that I watched as an adult. And then this one in Ohio, that went through most of the states, or through like 15 states, went literally through my girlfriend's hometown in the middle of nowhere, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
So we came back for that, and it was an amazing experience. So did you watch it in Buffalo or in New York City?
We watched it in New York City. We had around like an 89% totality, we could definitely see it. Definitely not like insane. But my dad made the trek out to Texas.
Highly recommend getting the path of totality. Being able to take your glasses off and see the sun literally covered by the moon is an absolutely insane thing. Okay. Awesome. So we always give the guests the chance to give the elevator pitch. What is Fora?
Yeah. So traditionally, when it comes to high-risk climate insurance, most people know which homes are going to be hit by a natural disaster. Fora's whole goal is to tell you which properties are going to survive. So we put an expert opinion in your prospect's pocket by providing homeowners with a 10-minute assessment through a web app, so no downloads. Essentially, they take a few photos, answer a few questions, and at the end, you and they receive real-time feedback about not only how well their home is prepared, but whether there are any tangible opportunities to upgrade the survivability of the property. I come from kind of the space tech general data science lens. I worked with SpaceX on their commercial rideshare team, and then kind of pivoted into sustainability and have kind of been at that intersection of sustainability and legacy systems ever since, most of the time being in insurance. And realized very quickly after working with a couple of nonprofit organizations, like Firewise groups and things like that, that there was a pretty big gap in what homeowners understood about the risk on their property and how to reduce their risk, but also what insurance companies could be benefiting from incentivizing that risk reduction and how much, you know, even a dollar of mitigation on a property results in anywhere from $4 to $11 in avoided future losses. And so it started making me think, okay, there has to be some kind of tangible value that we can provide both parties to make that an easier transition, make it more hyper-personalized. That's where insurance is heading now. And Fora was born. And so we've been at it for about a year and a half, and it's great. Very fun.
That was a lot. That was a lot. Okay. So let's kind of start digging into that little by little. Okay. So high-risk property insurance, homeowners. Okay, so the parts of the country that fall under that umbrella of high risk is not decreasing, right? It's increasing, right? With climate change and with people's movements towards higher risk, more cool places to live in, right? On the coast and California, etc. Okay, so yes, this is a big deal. Just in the last year, we saw several carriers basically pull out of California. We've seen, including gigantic carriers, we've seen something like 12 Florida carriers go out of business last year. The property insurance is and even people whose insurance has not been directly affected, right, who haven't had a loss and haven't lost their coverage, which has happened to a lot of people, through the country, people are getting hit by gigantic increases to their homeowners insurance, to a point that seems historic. Okay, so yes, anything we can do, basically, I'll start from that perspective. Anything we can do to increase the chances that my home survives a natural disaster is a win-win for me, for society, for my insurance company, right?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. So the way that Fora is helping with this issue is you're providing homeowners with an assessment of how likely their home is to survive a natural disaster and how they can improve that upgrade to improve that survivability. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So was there a specific disaster that you guys started with? Did you start with California wildfire, or did you start with Florida wind and hurricane, or what was the first hazard that you guys targeted?
Yeah. So we started with wildfire. A lot of my work previously in like engineering and working with government organizations has been around wildfire. And so that was, it's strange to say that it was my first love, but in the natural disaster space, that was the one that really got me really interested in the resilience of properties. And so we started with wildfire and started pinpointing a lot of the research that was being done around the foundation of the home, the roof of the home, siding, vegetation, all of these different things and different components that we could break down and say, yeah, if you're not mitigating your risk on these areas, you're 10%, 20%, 50% more likely to burn down in a wildfire if it came your way. And people have been doing this for quite a while, but actually quantifying that risk and applying it to something like insurance hasn't really been prioritized, purely because properties don't change very much year over year. Like the whole climate disaster space has really grown in the last decade or so. You know, if we really wanted to get granular, the last 20 years or so, it's really been growing. But in that regard, you know, properties haven't needed to get very hyper-personalized because they don't change very much. But now we're seeing that risk kind of migrate into things that we can do and can maintain about a property that we can help reduce our risk with. So wildfires were the first start, and then now we're dealing with hurricane and convective storm. Flood will be something that we also start to roll out in the next couple months. But yeah, the biggest things that we've seen started with wildfire.
Okay. Started with wildfire. Okay. So in the wildfire space, my understanding is that we have a good understanding of how to prevent wildfire, right? We have a good understanding of what areas are likely to be hit. We have a good understanding of how a wildfire moves. We have a good understanding of how you can clear your property for defensibility. So you didn't have to do the research, basically. You guys didn't have to do primary research on how to improve it. You basically just had to put it in an app, put the knowledge in an app, and let homeowners. Okay, perfect. When did the wildfire piece launch?
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
That launched back in October. We did kind of like a paid pilot on a couple thousand homeowners that summer. And then, yeah.
Okay, so less than a year ago. Okay, we're recording in April, so less than a year ago. Yeah. Okay, so you made the app available. How do you, what does it look like to the homeowner? Are they paying for the app? Is it a free download? What is the experience of the app like for the homeowners?
Yeah. So, I mean, we were basically testing a lot of these kind of like wildfire models for well over a year before we onboarded homeowners or did any kind of pilot. And typically how it works is, we're paid by the insurance company, typically an MGA or a carrier, to facilitate that, kind of where you would typically have an inspection come in. So on pre-bind or renewal, a high-risk policy comes across an underwriter's desk. Maybe it's in that gray area of what they can and can't insure. They need more information. They ping us, and we send a text or an email to the policyholder. Then we give them a code. And on the homeowner front, it's not something they have to download. It's basically just a link that they click and input their code, and then it takes them through their assessment. And that assessment walks them through a couple different areas of their home. So I might have mentioned before, kind of like roof characteristics, siding, foundation, and then vegetation. And based on all of those things, we give them granular scores and then calculate a resilience score at the end. And so the homeowner basically collects this report for us, basically like a self-inspection, and we send that report back to the underwriter to help them determine what the adequate amount of risk is and help them understand how to price that policy. But then also on the homeowner front, we're giving them action items that are specifically designed for their property. So based on the answers that they give us and the pictures they submit, we can recommend, hey, if you reduce your risk on these specific areas, let's say cut back your trees, remove the debris from your roof, and replace your ventilation with like ever-resistant vents. If you do all three of those things, you can receive an incentive or reduction from your insurance company. So I liken it to solar panels in a way. I think maybe I've touched on this before, but 20% of people are buying solar panels because they're more environmentally beneficial. But the overwhelming 70% of people are buying solar panels because they see the direct tangible benefit in their energy bill. So it's kind of, we're taking the same approach of, okay, how do we assign that tangible benefit to risk mitigation to make it a much more attractive thing for homeowners to do and get rewarded from it?
Okay. So this is a very, very, very young startup, but the product is already at least at MVP level, basically, at least. So if I'm, you know, if I run underwriting, personalized underwriting for a carrier, What does it look like for us? What do we get if we sign up to do a POC with you guys or to bring for a onboard for our homeowners book? What does it look like for us?
Yeah, so we have a platform and an API. So it depends on how sophisticated the company is, whether they can just plug in. We've done integrations with agency management systems and just general policy admin systems, just to get a lot of that data into their underwriting platforms, whatever that might be. And so we're pretty flexible with how we integrate, but we have that. And then we also have a platform where you can send out inspections from the platform. So we basically have a database that you can look at. You can see granular based on the questions and like a picture report, as well as a resilience score, how that homeowner fared on the inspection. And then we make recommendations based on how you can incentivize them to do those action items or to complete those action items. So we're giving you the score. We're giving you the report itself. We've seen that it's helped with a lot of people that do typical like desk underwriting, typically because you can't really get a really accurate picture of the siding of the home or like the windows, ventilation, if there's vegetation overhanging. There's only so much you can get with satellite and aerial, and We're basically just trying to innovate more upon the self-inspection aspect to make it easier for underwriters to get a better picture.
Okay. Are you now live with wildfire and hurricane, or which disasters are you already active with?
Yeah, we're live with wildfire and hurricane. So we're testing those every day. We basically, on our models, we went back to historical data and looked at claims reports, loss reports, and then just general insurance books post and pre-disaster to analyze which homes survived, which homes resulted in a total loss for you, and how those attributes of the structure actually played into the survivability of that portfolio. And so we're able to train those resilience scores off of that information for both hurricane and wildfire, going back to 1991. So we basically spent a good year or so building that out, and then now we've been onboarding clients ever since.
Okay. What's the pricing like?
Yeah, I mean, so we start at $200 a month for just kind of like the basic plan. So typically that's, I believe it's like 20 to 30 assessments. I'm forgetting what the exact like structure is like now, because we've been onboarding people at a bunch of different prices. So that's typically where we start. And then it kind of is more negotiable depending on capacity. So if someone's doing 100 assessments a month versus 20 assessments a month, it's just going to be valued differently. But typically that's where we're starting, is that $200 a month plug-in.
Are the carriers or the MGAs, how are they incentivizing their customers to actually do the assessment?
Typically how we've integrated is it becomes a mandatory part of their underwriting process. So if a new business comes in and they need insurance, one of the hardest parts about being in a high risk area is getting insurance in the first place. Okay, and so for these MGAs that have a lot of distribution in higher risk areas, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you want insurance or if you want more affordable insurance, complete this assessment. It takes less than 10 minutes and will help you get the best policy available. And that's also how agents have been using the platform. So like agents that get all of that data up front in a report that they can submit to the carrier are more likely to not only educate and create the a stickier experience for the policyholder, but also help them bundle their risk and really assign the best risk possible to that property. So a bunch of different uses that we're testing right now.
Okay. So even agencies in high risk areas can get in and basically have their prospects use Fora, even if the carrier itself is not yet one of your carriers. And basically make it more likely that the underwriter is going to accept the policy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. What's next for the product? What is not yet live that you can already talk about? Keeping in mind that this will come out mid-May.
Yeah, I mean, so by mid-May, we may have launched our flood product, or we'll be very close to launching it. Again, we have wildfire and hurricane, and then flood is next on our roadmap. By that time, we'll have kind of like more of an API, like open API structure that allows us to do more integrations. So we're talking to a couple of different players right now, and hopefully that is all live by end of May. So stay tuned for that. But I would say flood is biggest on our plate. We've gotten a lot of traction and need for the flood peril along with the others. And so that's that. And then we're expanding into kind of more of the southern coastal region. So like Florida, hopefully Louisiana, Georgia, things like that. We have distribution in Hawaii, California, Texas, in most of the western states right now. So really just trying to stake our ground in these definitely high wind risk and flood risk states, along with launching that product closer to May.
Okay. And you guys are going through the GIA Accelerator, right? The Global Insurance Accelerator out of Iowa?
We're actually part of an accelerator called Metaprop.
Oh, okay.
They're actually based in New York.
Uh-huh.
And they're a prop tech and fintech adjacent fund, but have a lot of insurance exposure. They invested in BetterView early in its stage. So lots of very cool people, and we'll wrap that up in June, I believe.
Okay. How's that experience been?
It's been great. My co-founder and I, we like the structure that it brings. With startups, it's easy to kind of have a goal and then run with it and have no real like end to when you can measure that progress. And it's also good to have someone keeping you accountable on that progress. And so it's been helpful with that structure. And there's very few times where I walk into an office of people, or especially an investor's office of people, and feel the amount of warmth and kindness and just like general, like there's just great people at Metaprop. And it makes you feel like you want to work harder for them to make them proud, kind of thing. We really enjoy it and recommend it to startups that are in the same space.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I'm always curious on the origin story. How did you guys realize that there was a need for what you're doing and that you guys were the right people to do it?
Yeah, so I had been working in Wildfire for a while before that. When I first joined SpaceX, I worked there for a bit, and then I got a grant to work in sustainability for 2 years from the 776 Foundation. And their whole goal is to give young people the freedom to be able to pursue something in sustainability when they're still young. And the main caveat of that was basically you had to work full time on a climate project. And so I started exploring the Wildfire space, was building an engineering project actually with drone technology that kind of fizzled out. And then I was still in the Wildfire space and started talking to Firewise communities, which, for those of you who don't know, are basically like little nonprofit organizations in counties that are their specific goal is to help residents with their mitigation efforts. And so they connect to government organizations for grants and help teach people and educate people about wildfire safety and things like that. And so I worked with one for a little while, and that's when I realized that there was such a big gap in how homeowners were approaching these programs, and that a lot of these programs fail because homeowners they can't tie any of that mitigation to tangible value. It's too much upfront. There's not something they can point to and say, yeah, as a result of doing X, I got Y. There's just kind of a lack of, a lack of reward, I would say, for a lot of those programs. And in a lot of cases, cost is the biggest, contributor to why people do things and don't do things in the first place. So that's kind of where the idea was born. And I met my co-founder actually on a Wildfire subreddit. I posted about the problem, and she responded and was like, hey, I don't know if I'll be able to join the team, but let's talk about this. And then we got on a call, and we like incorporated a couple weeks later and lived together for the summer last year. So pretty crazy. And I love telling the story.
530 some, 540 some. In fact, this could be episode 550 for all I know. We're getting close. I have never had anybody say, I met my co-founder on a Reddit subreddit. That's fantastic. Reddit for the world.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of one of the insurance subreddits. So very, very cool. Very, very, very cool story. All right. So you guys are very, very early on in this adventure. Very exciting to have you on the show this early on. That also means that some of my usual questions don't make sense yet. So I would love to have you back in a year or two. And in a year or two, basically, I love an update on what the product is doing and what you guys are doing. And especially would love, what are the clients saying the results have been from incorporating Fora? Absolutely awesome. For the listeners when this goes live, I will tag the company and I will tag you on LinkedIn. And for the listeners that would like to chat with you or your co-founder in person at a conference, where are you guys expecting to be for kind of the rest of the year?
Yeah. So we're going to be at GIS, the Global Insurance Symposium. That will have passed by the time the podcast is here, but mm-hmm. we'll definitely be at ITC. Hopefully we'll maybe have a booth there or something. So come say hi if you're planning on going there. And then still deciding, we'll probably bounce around a couple different InsurTech conferences, but we're pretty easily accessible. I've taken the LinkedIn influencer route, so I post a bunch. So you're probably best finding me there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today. Super interesting stuff and super important stuff. I've said this before on the podcast. Insurance needs to move from paying for losses to being a true partner in preventing, especially when it comes to the emerging risks around climate change. So, yeah, this is important work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.